Yeah.
Thank you all for coming. So we've been doing 3 days. This is the four days, actually. Tomorrow's another day for Harinam Sankirtan in the evening. So please come by. I think it starts around 4 or 5 o'clock. And it goes all the way up to 10 tomorrow night. And tonight also, 10 o'clock. And we have many, many wonderful kirtaniers who are going to inspire us in chanting and dancing. Goloka Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. There's nothing better, nothing higher, nothing more pure than glorifying Krishna, than chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is personally present here in the temple, has inaugurated this Sankirtan movement through the process of Harinam Sankirtan in association with his eternal associates from the spiritual world. Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, but he is in the mood of the devotee of Krishna. And so his teachings is how to become a perfect devotee. And he teaches from the principle of the pupil, who is teaching from the principle of the teacher takes the part of the student and teaches the student how to serve the teacher. So that's Mahaprabhu. And what is he doing? He is glorifying Krishna by chanting the holy names of the Lord. There are many activities in human society, but the scriptures say out of all of these activities, the highest and most perfect and most beneficial is to take up devotional service to the Lord. And the essence of devotional service is to glorify Krishna. And the best way to glorify Krishna is Harinam Sankirtan. Congregational glorification of the Lord with so many other devotees who are chanting and dancing like that. So it's almost like a spiritual party. You sing, you dance, and if you get tired, there's always something wonderful to taste. And then, because Prabhupada describes in one lecture, Lord Chaitanya's associates, they would just sing and dance until they got so tired, and then they would stop, take a little prasadam, and bring in the kirtan again. And then they would go on, and then they get tired again, and they take a little more prasadam, and then they continue. In this way, there was no break. A little prasadam, just to keep you going, not a feast. Because if you take a feast, you don't want to go anymore. So this is our process. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has put the whole science of bhakti in 8 verses called the Shikshastakam. Shiksha means teachings. Astakam means 8. So in 8 verses he has given us the whole process of bhakti, which all centers around the glorification of the Lord. In the first verse he teaches us what are the benefits or benedictions that one may receive from chanting the holy name. Cheto darpana marjanam, bhava mahadevagni nirvapanam, shreya kaiva vichendrika vitaranam vidha vidu jivanam, anandam buddhi vardanam, patipadam purnam rita svardanam, sarvatmas naparam param vijayate, shri krishna sankirtanam. So, if you carefully look at the wordings and how it structures, you'll see that there are 7 benedictions that are broken into couplets of about 2 or 3 words each. Cheto darpana marjanam, bhava mahadarvagni nirvapanam, sreya kaiva vichendrika vitaranam, vidya vadhu jivanam, anandam buddhi vardanam, patipadam purnam ritasvardanam, sarvatma snaparam param, Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. What is interesting is that each of those 7 benedictions end with the name Nam. Whoa. That's what I said when I discovered that. Whoa! 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 It's like Mahawo. And only God could do that. So God has shown us how he can make everything so poetic and at the same time so spiritually, physically, philosophically sound. So I'll go through those seven benedictions. Cheto means mind. Darpanam means mirror. And marginum means cleanse. So the heart is like a mirror which reflects inside what is outside. Everyone sees the reality of the world differently, and everyone sees the illusion differently. What is that? The illusion is that our perception of reality is a symptomatic of a type of illusion. And therefore everyone is seeing according to their own perception. So that is called the mirror of the mind. The mind reflects what's inside, outside. So therefore, just like Prabhupada would tell a joke sometimes, he would say, one man, he is in love with his wife, but his wife looks like a frog. But everyone says, what does he see in her? But he loves his frog. Love is blind, you know. So when one sees through a certain emotion or thing, I'm not saying ladies are frogs, I'm just, please don't get me wrong. That's not the idea. So, you know, we just have to make a point by using a certain little humorous point analogy. So he's in love, but everyone else says, what does he see in her, you know? So everyone is seeing according to their perception of reality, which is our conditioned nature. And we perceive things differently like that. One man's food is another man's poison, sometimes we say that. So the mirror of the mind is reflecting, but that reflection is simply our material consciousness. So the mirror, Darpanam, is cleansed by the holy name. So when you take the dust off the mirror, you can see the image in front of the mirror exactly as it is. But when the dust is there, you get a distorted view of the image. So we have a distorted view of reality based on because of our association with material energy and a desire to enjoy it. So that distorted reality makes us see things in a different way. So the chanting of the holy name gradually removes that dust, and then one can see Krishna, yourself, and everything in existence. And what is that seeing, as Krishna says in the Gita? When you thus know the truth, you'll know that all living beings are my parts and parcels, are in me or mine. So if you see everything in this world as Krishna's energy, and every living being is a spirit soul, then you are seeing perfectly. That is perfect vision. Anything less than that is something material. So to come to that stage, the holy name can gradually, through careful chanting and association with others who are chanting, we remove those dust which give us a wrong view or a perverted view, distorted view of what is reality. Reality is that Krishna is within everything and everything is Krishna. That is the reality. And that is not something that you hypothetically impose or supplant on your mind to accept. It is actually a vision. When someone asked Prabhupada, can you see Krishna? Prabhupada said, there was never a time I wasn't seeing Krishna. So a pure devotee who was on the highest level of pure devotion, not just any pure devotee, but who was very high, sees Krishna everywhere and everything in Krishna, and sees all living beings as part and parcel of Krishna. So that's what the holy name does. It gradually brings you to the stage of realizing what is the actual reality and what is your relationship with Krishna. So that's the first benediction. The second one is Bhava Mahadirvagni Nirvapanam. Is this material world is like a blazing fire. There's miseries of the body, miseries of the mind. Miseries come from other living beings, and miseries come from higher powers. I was just in America for 3 months, and in 3 months they had 2 major hurricanes. Tremendous. Winds 135 to 155 miles an hour. destroying, picking up cars and throwing them there like they were toys. And people were, and they had to get out of there, but houses were completely obliterated. People came back to their houses. All there was boards and glass piled up. That's it. There was nothing left. So calamities come by way of higher powers. We can't stop that. And calamities come by other living entities. Mosquitoes, they bite you. Dogs, they give you trouble. Sometimes other human beings give you a hard time. So we find, yeah, this happens all the time. We find that this is called adibautic. Misery is caused by other living entities. And misery is caused by our body and mind. Our body gets sick. We need medicine. We need rest. We have to stop our activities. Our mind is giving us so much problems. We want to think of Krishna, and the mind's just thinking, wow, that guy said something to me yesterday, and I can't stop thinking about it. So, you know, our mind is always giving us some trouble. But if you chant the holy names of the Lord, you can reduce and ultimately free yourself from all three of these miseries. Even miseries comes by higher powers. So that's the power of chanting the holy names of the Lord. The third benediction is, what is the third one? It is Shreya Kaivara Chandrika Vitardanam. Shreya means auspicious. Kaiva is an interesting word. It's a lotus flower. Have you ever seen a beautiful lotus? Yeah. They're white, or sometimes they're blue, and sometimes they're mixed colors. So beautiful. A lotus is considered to be one of the most beautiful forms of God's creation in this world. So beautiful. But there's a kind of lotus which is called Kaiva. It's a special lotus. All the lotus flowers get their energy and nourishment from water and sunlight. But this lotus gets its energy from water and moonlight. It blooms under the rays of the moon and not under the rays of the sun, a special lotus. So the heart is compared to the lotus flower, which is closed. So when the moonlight of Krishna's holy name shines upon the heart starts to open. And one starts to feel happy. One starts to feel peaceful. In other words, our good fortune becomes revealed. It says that every living being has good fortune somewhere in their life. And here it is explained that this holy name reveals that good fortune by the process of chanting like that. So this is the third benediction, that it opens the heart and reveals one's good fortune. The next benediction is Vidya Vidhu Jivanam. Vidya means knowledge, and Vidhu means bride, and Jivanam means life. On the marriage days, maybe you got some of you are married here, I think, yeah? Nowadays nobody gets married, right? It's not fashionable to get married. I was talking to a very close relative of mine. I said, you know, you married? No, this is my partner. I said, what does that mean? You know, we hang out together, but we don't get one to get married. Why don't you get married? Because if there's a divorce, there's so many problems. So, so better not to get married. So this is modern day, you know, logic. So, but bride, Vidhu, on the wedding day, feels very joyful. Why? In the presence of the husband. So the bride becomes more beautiful on her wedding day. You ever see Indians? And when I get married in India, it's all, it's really gorgeous. And, you know, it's, the girl's dressed in red. And she's like decorated up. You can't even recognize her. She's just like a Christmas tree, you know. Her husband thinks, is it Christmas? Oh, that's you. A moving Christmas tree. But, you know, she looks really beautiful. But on that day, and so Vidya represents the husband, which is transcendental knowledge, and Vidhu means bride. So transcendental knowledge gives life to the bride, which is the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. So transcendental knowledge gets life from chanting the holy names of the Lord. Just like when you go to many of these satsangs, you'll see people speak philosophy, and nobody understands anything. At least in India, they have these big pandals, 2,000 to 20,000 people come. And they got all these people. But when Prabhupada comes with his devotees, they have kirtan. And everybody starts, oh, this is the best philosophy. And then when you speak philosophy after a kirtan, people are able and more willing to listen. Because the kirtan just purifies the energy, and then transcendental knowledge makes sense. Becomes easily understandable. So through the process of chanting, one awakens the realization of transcendental knowledge. Vidya, vidu, jivanam. Just like a bride becomes happy in the presence of the bridegroom. That's the analogy that Lord Chaitanya has given. So the next one is anandam buddhivardhanam. Ananda means bliss or joy, unlimited joy. Buddhi means deep, unlimited, or what we say, deep. And anandam buddhivardhanam means ocean. So there's an ocean of transcendental happiness that comes by chanting the holy names of the Lord. So it is says that the jiva, us, we are limited, and Krishna is unlimited. But there's one feature about the jiva that is also unlimited. And what is that? The jiva can experience unlimited happiness. You can't imagine how happy you can be. It's not possible. You can get so happy you die. Die out of happiness. But that's not the idea. Because it says in the Shastras that one of the symptoms of ecstasy is death. That's mentioned in Nectar of Devotion, yeah. You get so happy, you just go back to Godhead. But the point is that it, as the jiva is limited, and the holy name is an ocean of spiritual energy, it brings unlimited joy to the jiva. And then the great sages give us this analogy. Radharani is there, and Krishna is there. And Krishna looks at Radharani, and he sees how beautiful she looks, and he becomes happy and becomes beautiful, more beautiful. She looks at him, sees that he's become more beautiful, she becomes more happy, and she becomes more beautiful. And he looks at her and sees that she's become even more beautiful, he becomes more happy, he becomes more beautiful, she looks at him, sees that he's become more beautiful, she becomes more happy, and it just keeps going. Don't try that with your husband and wife. It may not always work. It may work once or twice, maybe even 2.5 times. But what I'm saying is that on the spiritual platform, happiness is unlimited. It's unlimited. So we were having a little kirtan here, and Mataji, Sevakunj, was getting us all going mad. But that's just, she's just tasting a drop of a drop of a drop of a drop of the happiness that is there in chanting the holy names. It's unlimited. You can't imagine the joy of chanting the holy names. It's not even imaginable, what to speak of trying to understand it. So it's unlimited. So if we chant the holy names of the Lord and we continue in that process, our happiness will only accelerate more and more as time goes on. It becomes wonderful. And the next one is Pratipadam Purnam Rita Swardhanam. That each of us has an eternal loving relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. That is called our Swarup. Our eternal position in our relationship with Krishna. Through chanting the holy names of the Lord, step by step, that knowledge of our eternal relationship is revealed through the process of holy name. So one doesn't need any external, what we say, stimulus to help you understand. If you're following the process of chanting the holy names, gradually you'll start to understand more and more what is your relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. It reveals your sarup. And this also, Patipada Purnamrita Swarnam, also means that at every step there are newer and newer realizations of the philosophy. Just like we can speak, I don't know, I'm limited, but devotees can take Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Prabhupada's spiritual master, spoke on the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Janma Yasya Yataha, for 2 months. There was no purports. He gave the purports. For 2 months, and never covered the same points each day. That's a great soul, can just read the verses and go deeper and deeper and unravel more and more meaning that is actually intrinsic within the verse and not something that is coming from something else. This knowledge is also unlimited, as happiness is also unlimited. And the last one, Sarvatma Snaparam. Sarvatma means all and Snaparam means bath. So whatever you have in life, whatever your relationships are, your home, your possessions, your family members, everything becomes sanctified through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And that is the last one. So that's called a complete bath. Nothing is left out. The holy name will take care of everything in your life. It purifies your whole existence, not only you, but everything in relationship to you. That is the power of the holy name. And Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. And the verse ends. All glories to Sri Krishna Sankirtana. So it's like a symphony. It's just a glorification of the holy name. So this first verse actually is the essence of the Shikshastika prayers, in that it teaches us what is the benefits from chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And the second verse I'll just mention quickly, that there's no rules, no regulations, no restrictions, no qualifications needed. Anyone can chant anytime, any place. And all of Krishna's powers, Krishna's energies, forms, pastimes, everything is found within the holy name. And the third verse is that one should practice chanting in the mood of humility, becoming tolerant, giving respect to others, and not asking respect for oneself. So these first three verses are fundamental to actually our speedy progress in the process of chanting Hare Krishna. So we would like to speak more about these verses because they're so interesting and so deep. There's so much more that is available. But we have to stop because of our time constraint. I can go to 5:15. Okay, thank you very much. The unembodied voice from the sky. Ananta. It's unlimited. Okay, so okay, we can backtrack a little bit and speak a little bit about the second verse. There are primary names of the Lord, and there are secondary names of the Lord. The primary names of the Lord describe His qualities, pastimes, and His relationships with His devotees. And these are the names that we chant, such as Krishna, Rama, Govinda, Gopina, Gopijana Vallabhaya, or Damodar. Secondary names is God, Brahman, Ishwara, Paramatma. These names also indicate the absolute truth, but they're not, what we say, fully empowered with all the Shakti of the Lord's energies. So we chant the primary names of the Lord.
And then Lord Chaitanya, he says, Durdaivam idrisam ihajani na nuragaha, the last line. He says, it's so easy to chant, and it's so available, and there's no rules, there's no regulations. But Durdaiva means, I have no taste. Why? Why? With making it so easy, and still I have no taste. And then the acharyas give the understanding, I commit offenses. Because I commit offenses, I lose my taste for chanting. So what do? The next verse. Trinadapi sunichena tayoriva sahishnuna amaninam amanadenam kirtaniya sadarahi. So here's how to avoid offenses completely. By cultivating these four principles, practicing humility, tolerance, giving respects to all. How can we give respects to every living entity when some people are not respectable? How do you do that? Well, you can understand that even though the person externally may be what we say persona non grata, still within the heart of that living entity, Krishna's there. Krishna's in the heart of every living entity. One who sees that actually sees correctly. He's in the heart of even the ant who crawls on the ground, and he's in the heart of the elephant. So, therefore, giving respects to honor means to honor what God has given to every living being. He's giving them a chance to live their life in this world accordingly. So we should honor that. And if we can assist someone in their practice of spiritual life, that is to our great benefit. Like that. So that is the understanding, that humility means to assist others in their process of devotional service. Humility means not to want to be honored by others. Although you may get honor from others, one should not be seeking that honor, because that is a form of false ego, and false ego blocks our ability to chant the holy names properly. So a devotee practices humility and tolerance. Tolerance is a very high principle of spiritual practice. And we have to learn to tolerate. Sometimes we have to tolerate ourselves, right? That's even hard sometimes. And if we have to tolerate ourselves, imagine what other people have to go in our association. So tolerance is a very important part and very fundamental principle to allow us to practice Krishna consciousness. It says that a river, when it bends, it can keep going. If a river comes up across some rocks or a tree, it goes around. So that is humility, learning how to keep moving forward without being deterred by situations in our life. And that means humility. Humility is such a high principle of devotional service that Krishna calls it devotional service itself. One who practices humility is actually practicing devotional service. It's so elevated. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, out of the 20 items of knowledge, the first one is amanvittam, Adamvittam. Amanvittam means humility. He says that first. So humility means God is great and I am small. Humility means I can't do anything without the mercy of the Lord. Humility means I can do anything with the mercy of the Lord. Humility empowers one to receive the Lord's mercy, and then one can do wonderful things on behalf of the Lord with the Lord's mercy. And the Lord is always inclined to give his mercy to one who practices humility. Humility, Prabhupada writes, humility means not to be eager to be respected and honored by others. In the material world, people look for that as success in life. If I can get followers, if I can get what we say, some position, or if people, glorify or praise what I do, then I feel like I'm successful. But devotee's not eager for that. Because they know that can even block one's spiritual practice. Why? Because one can become enamored by that praise and start to think, I'm okay. So practicing humility means to understand I'm dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Always, at all times, at every second, not just when the situations get tough. And tolerance, we mentioned. Pridelessness means not eager to be honored by others and giving respects to others. It's not so hard to give respects to others, right? You can do that. People do that all the time. But not asking any respect for yourself? Whoa. Hey, I respected you and you're not respecting me. What's wrong with you, man? Sometimes we think like that. So that is also an anartha, to want to be. So we have to practice that, because the false ego will always dictate that I need these things in order to live. But the soul needs only devotional service. So we have to act on the platform of the soul. So practice that. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says we have to cultivate these four principles. It's not you can all of a sudden come up to the standard just by practice. It takes some time. Sometimes it takes almost a lifetime. But if you're always practicing these four things, then what is it? Kirtaniya Sadarahi. That's how the verse ends. That one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. There's no problem. If one is practicing these four things, it becomes easy, natural, and very desirable to always chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So these first three verses set the stage for the higher verses, which teach us how to relinquish material desires and how to go deeper into our relationship with Krishna. So these eight prayers are actually the entire process of pure devotional service packaged in these eight prayers. That's the only thing Lord Chaitanya wrote when he was here. And he had the qualifications to write volumes of books, but he only wrote these four, eight things. And these eight things were written, eight verses were written in the very end of his stay on the earth. It wasn't done in the early part of his life. Only when he was in Jagannath Puri, when he was in his final days, that he wrote these verses. And these became the basis for all scriptures written by the six Goswamis. Srila Prabhupada says, all of the books that the six Goswamis wrote on the process of pure devotional service were coming from these eight prayers. How powerful. So it is recommended that before we chant our japa every day, we recite these prayers as a way to get the mercy of the japa. Because these prayers are non-different than the holy name. And that's not just a eulogy, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the first prayer is Hare Krishna. The second prayer is Hare Krishna. The third prayer is Krishna Krishna. The fourth prayer is Hare Hare. The fifth prayer is Hare Rama. The sixth prayer is Hare Rama. The seventh prayer is Rama Rama. And the eighth is Hare Hare. So these eight prayers coincide with and are non-different in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That's Lord Chaitanya. And these eight prayers also embody the three aspects of devotional sambandha, abhideya, prayojana. And they also encompass the nine stages of bhakti, from adaustrada all the way up to prema. So these prayers are everything. If you just learn these eight prayers and you don't learn any other prayers, you have made it. You have made the best of all prayers. So we recommend these prayers for devotees to chant and to remember every day. So we do have maybe only about 7 minutes left, 8 minutes. Any comments, questions, shikshastikam prayers? chanting of the holy names of the Lord, how to acquiesce the mercy of the holy name. Anyone? Okay. Sometimes that happens. Yes. Oh, you have a question.
So, thank you, Maharaj, for a nice lecture. I was wanting to ask this question also 2 days ago, yesterday actually, but there were so many questions. So it's connected actually with this glories of the holy name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering when a person doesn't have faith, when
taste.
He doesn't taste, and also faith in the holy name, and he doesn't feel the effects. What are actually the how to uplift his consciousness to, you know, like really dive deeper and to get those effects?
Well, how to get the taste and how to get the benefit of chanting when one is chanting it and not feeling. Therefore, we recite the 10 offenses every day in the morning program to help us understand what we have to avoid in order to get the taste from the holy name. And we also understand that one who is too much materially attached, it becomes a effort, and it will work, but they have to keep chanting. The more one is material attached, the more harder it is to chant the holy name. But still, one should chant. So there's many reasons. And there are many reasons why one is not getting the taste. Lack of faith, offenses, too much material attachments. If you have faith and you have material attachments and you have committed offenses, that'll inspire you to get the taste. As long as your faith is still there. And faith means association with devotees. So just keep chanting. It'll get better. Yes.
How can we recognize that we have too much materialistic attachments?
Ask somebody that you know. They can tell you sometimes. We can't see ourselves sometimes. But if you ask somebody who maybe, you might say, well, ask a devotee, and he can also tell you. If you honestly want to know, our material attachments, how can we recognize them? Is that if you can't do without something in this world and it disturbs you, that's your material attachment. If you have things and you lose them, or you just don't get them, and you're not disturbed, you're not attached. but if you're getting disturbed, if you don't get them, you don't enjoy them, someone's getting in the way of you getting them, these are all attachments. But living in this world means everything that I have is given by Krishna. I use it in Krishna's service. I take what I need to live nicely in this world. If Krishna takes it away, that's fine. If he gives me more, that's fine. Why? Because I'm tasting the happiness of devotional service. So, therefore, we can leave behind the material attachments. But we all have material attachments. It depends on how much and how deep those attachments are. They say if you lose your money, you lose nothing. If you lose your health, you lose something. If you lose Krishna, you lose everything. So you can live without money. That's a fact. You might think, how? It works. I haven't worked in the last 40 years. Somehow money comes. If you engage in devotional service, Krishna will take care of you. But if you're attached to your own ways of finding happiness, that is material attachment. If you just accept Krishna's instructions and guidance, you'll find that happiness through devotional service. And then whatever material attachments you have are not so important. They'll go away in time. And the Christian prayers, they say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the Lord. Can we chant like that? He might give us something, we're happy, take something away. It's a different story. Or he might give us something we don't want. Or he might take us away, take away something we want. We want taken away. So if our happiness and distress is dependent on what we get and what we don't get, then that's material attachments.
The work is in the middle. I mean, if you have to work hard for something, then you'll be so much more attached.
Yeah, but hard work is for donkeys. Human life, it says, Naham Deho Deho Bhajan Nirloke, Kastan Kam Arati Vid Bhujan De. Human life is not meant to work hard. Just work enough so you can get whatever you need. But people are working like donkeys. And they even sound like donkeys. So working hard is not for the human life. Human life is not meant to work hard, the scriptures say. Just work enough where you can take care of your material needs and then you use your time for spiritual realization. So why work hard? Work hard for Krishna. And the scriptures say, don't work hard. You know, it's not meant for human life. Animals work hard. An intelligent person, if he wants something done, he gets the animals to do it. He gets the horses to carry things, the donkeys, you know, like that. Yeah. You'll see a person, when they become more and more advanced in material life, the less they work. They get everybody else to work for them. Nobody likes to work. Right? Huh? Why Krishna takes away things? Because he loves you. His love comes in different ways. And he gives you things too. That's also his love. Both. Any other questions? I saw another hand somewhere. No, I guess I was a singer. Okay, it's right on 5:15. So thank you very much. So chant the holy names. And tonight there's only one thing to do. Chant and dance. And take prasad. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.